Reading from Acts chapter 2, verses 46 and 47. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Mm.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, April 29th, 2022. And I opened up with Acts chapter 2, verses 46 and 47, because it'll be very germane to our conversation. And how interesting, Jason, the last so many minutes with Marianne and Holly here, that we talk about some of the very things that may go on with this new announcement that will begin in May with the morning program. Mm. I thought, isn't that interesting that what we hope and desire will happen with having a live audience here for our Friday edition of Mark and Friends, that people will do what that one word you've used many times in the past, is it havarim,
mm-hmm.
where we wrestle with, we talk
it's,
about?
It's the haver. Havarim would be, I guess we would be havering and havariming because one is the male and one is the female part.
Hmm. And so what I'm kind of talking about, and it'll be a portion of what's discussed today, but some of the things that were brought up, like communion and some things, I think bears witness of what we want to have happen mm-hmm. in the coming days, and it was happening here. So Pastor Jason and I, we've just been talking for a few weeks. It was an idea that he had that then I started running with. But the thought is maybe on Wednesday to invite listeners to come to the studio. I'm thinking at noontime. And as we would tape a program, they could interact or be a part of it. They could listen in and maybe have questions. And then possibly Jason could stay a little while longer and continue the discussion or create a Bible study out of what was shared during Mark and Friends. But part of the thought was that you could be a part of the program and you could maybe ask questions or interact and be right here in our studio at Marketplace Mall in Champaign. And we'd probably do it on Wednesday at noon in maybe a few weeks. We haven't designated the date, but we'll say more about it. But I thought today's program mm-hmm. could talk a little about what that might look like, how they could have questions ready, how they could interact with the program. And then I think it'd be fun for our listeners, like, wow, a live studio audience interacting. Mm-hmm. And we get people to our studios here, get them involved, and have some of their questions answered.
Yeah, I think it would be interesting. See, one of the things that's fascinating to me is that you'll come across people, and conversations these days tend to be very safe because people are so sensitive. There are so many hot button topics. But you've heard forever people say, if you want to have a safer conversation, don't talk about politics or religion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the problem that I have, is that if God is central to my life, if God is the most important thing in my life, if following God is the kind of the measure of how I look at my life, then that should be, you know, out of the overflow of the heart comes these things out of the mouth. And so it should be something that I talk about. And so I shouldn't skirt those things, talking about those things, because it might be difficult or it might be hard. In fact, I think one of the things that we have a problem with is maybe we've skirted having those kinds of things and we don't know how to have them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in Christian circles, what we have done to compensate for that is we have created this amazing thing called apologetics. And what apologetics is how we can argue for the faith. Well, my problem is that when I argue,
mm-hmm.
I don't often get to where I want to get, or I don't often achieve what I want to achieve. In fact, arguments don't tend to produce wonderful results.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? Because in an argument, one person wins and one person loses. But if you genuinely care about the person that you're talking to, then why the heck would you want them to lose? Why would you want them to leave feeling defeated, or leave feeling as though they've been overwhelmed, or leave feeling any of those kinds of negative feelings? So we don't need better apologetics. We don't need to be able to argue the faith better. Now, listen, we need to know what the faith says. We need to understand what the faith says. That means that we need to have great conversations about what it means to follow Jesus together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus was always about following him together. He wasn't about like singularly following him or just kind of looking at him from a distance. It's following him together and wrestling what it means to follow him, wrestling that together. And my concern is that we've become so good and we've built so much upon being able to argue that we've forgotten how to talk.
Talk and listen.
Yeah, Yeah, talk and listen. Yeah, and you know what I mean? One of the greatest things that I think that we can do, it's funny because I posted in a chat group that I'm with a lot of pastors in. It's all about disciple making. And I said, what do you think is the greatest tool or tools that a disciple maker has? And people came back with answers like prayer in the church and the Bible and those kinds of things. And I was like, yeah, I think those are good tools. I mean, don't get me wrong. I believe that with all my heart. But nobody ever said listening.
Hmm.
And yet, if you're a disciple maker, listening is so important. For Jesus, if you look at the life of Jesus, Jesus spent so much time asking questions and then listening to answers.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus asked far more questions and listened to those answers than he did making emphatic statements. And the Apostle Paul did the exact same thing. When the Apostle Paul is in the area, when he's in that field of all the idols, what does he do? He asks a question. Who is this idol? And he waits for the responses, and then he responds. There begins a communication or a conversation. And so we've not been very good at that, and we need to get better at that. And we need to get better, as you said, not only asking great questions, but listening. Mm. And not listening to respond, but listening. Really listening. Unfortunately, I think one of the things that we're kind of burdened by these days is that we've been taught to listen to respond. So, you know, mm-hmm. I'm listening to you, but what I'm really listening to you for is so I can formulate my next comment back to you. And I'm really more important. I'm really fixated more on my response back to you than I am really listening to you and listening to your heart. You know, it's very interesting. I was with a couple of people, I think this was like 3 weeks ago, and they were having a back and forth, and I noticed this happening. They started this back and forth, and I was the third wheel. Sometimes it's actually good to be the third wheel because you just get to spectate. And so I was just watching this happen. And what I was noticing was that these two people were going back and forth, and when this person was talking, the other person was formulating what they wanted to say in response to them, not really listening to them. And me as the person who was kind of removed from the thing, I kept thinking, like, you didn't even hear what that person just said.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you really, really, really heard what they just said, you wouldn't have said what you just said. You might have said something different, like, I'm sorry you went through that. I'm sorry, that must have been really difficult. Instead of, well, but don't you know? And so sometimes I think that we don't hear. And the important thing about listening is that listening isn't just about listening to the words. It's about listening to what's beneath the words.
Mm-hmm.
Listening to the emotion or maybe the hurt or wondering maybe when you're listening going, Lord, where is that coming from? What is bringing that statement out? And maybe what we don't need right now is maybe we don't need a good argument, but instead maybe what we need is a robust hug or a response that's based on, I just really, really heard you.
Mm.
Instead of, here's my next wonderful point.
And I think I wrote, as is typically the case, anyone who's listened to the Friday edition of Mark and Friends, I usually have a pen in hand and write things as you're talking or sharing. And I put, yeah, there's a big difference between listening and hearing. And isn't it that Hebrew way where Jesus asked many questions because he understood what they were saying? So mm-hmm. he was really listening. And so he followed up with, like, you would say, why did he follow up with that question?
Mm-hmm.
But it's because you show that you're listening by the questions that you interact with a person. By your follow-up question meant that you were really listening. And there's that interesting phenomenon, especially in the Jewish faith, where many questions are returned with additional questions, mm-hmm. which meant you were listening.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's really fascinating that when you fall into like the counseling, you know, so I have a minor in counseling, but you know what's better than my minor degree in counseling?
Hmm.
I've been to counseling, which is actually really good. But in counseling, what the counselors tend to do is if you said something, Mark, if you said, today I'm just feeling really conflicted, the counselor would say this. Mark, I hear that you're feeling very conflicted. Why do you feel that way?
Hmm.
They repeat back to you what you just said. Why? Because they want you to know that you've been heard.
Hmm.
They want you to know that what you're feeling has not just been thrown into the room, but it has actually been caught, embraced, and now I want to understand why you feel that way. And the Jewish tradition does a really great job of not using emphatic statements, but instead always responding with more questions. Why? Because we want to peel back the layers and get down to what the thing is. Mm-hmm. Not the thing that we're talking about, because listen, the thing that we're talking about is never the issue. You know what the issue is the thing beneath the thing beneath the thing. Mm-hmm. The thing that's down deep, that's really driving what's happening. And wise voices in the counseling sphere say that those things are really five basic things. I can't remember all of them, but shame, guilt, fear. I forget the last two. But those are really these emotional drivers of things that have happened to us that if we peel back the layers, we're going to find those things and we're going to address them, lovingly address them. But we live in the West. And because we live in the West and Jesus is speaking out of an Eastern tradition, our Western tradition is given to emphatic statements. That's what the Romans did. That's what the Greeks did. They got up and they made emphatic statements. They got up and they argued in the polis. They did those kinds of things. That's not the way that Jesus teaches. In fact, when Jesus is even a younger boy and his parents lose track of him and they go back to the temple, what do they find him doing? He's asking questions and answers with the rabbis. Because that was the way that they communicated back and forth to try and get to the truth, not the thing we're talking about right now, but the thing beneath the thing beneath the thing beneath the thing. And so I think that we need to get better at that, because I think that what we do is we have these kind of surface level conversations, especially in the church and about following Jesus, where we're just talking about this thing, but there is more to it. And we need to really get down. And when you have a good conversation, you actually begin to whittle away at those layers. You begin to actually dig down and get down to what the heart of the matter is. And that's one of the things that Jesus was so brilliant and so good at, is Jesus could get to the heart of it. But we also know from other places in the scripture, it says that Jesus knew the content of their heart. Jesus knew what was going on in their heart. So Jesus had a target and a place that he was really desiring to go to. So one of the things that's a practice for me, and by no measure, I hope that the person listening to this doesn't think, well, Jason, he's crushing it. He's really got it going well. I just admitted to you that I've learned far more by being in counseling than I learned about going to school for counseling. But one of the things that I've tried to do is when I go and I sit down with somebody is I really pray before I go and I just say, Lord, can help me to hear their heart. Help me to hear what matters most, not the thing we're going to talk about up here, but the thing that's down deep that really needs to get to, so that when we leave, there's substantive change for both of us. There's not kind of, we just didn't cross this meeting off the list. We actually did something that mattered. And so that's part of what I would really like to accomplish. It's going to be kind of interesting. You know, we'll have like a studio audience. We want people to come in. So here's the deal. We haven't really set a number yet, but I'm thinking like around 15. And so that we'll have some form or way that you'll sign up to be able to do that. And on the day that we're going to record, we want to invite those 15 people to come in and sit and be. Now, I don't want you to be a live audience. You're not spectators. The modern evangelicalism is rife with spectatoritis. We don't need spectators. What we need is those people who are willing to converse and have conversation. So my job then doesn't become pontificator or the guy with the monologue. My job becomes facilitator. And so we'll present a topic along with a few questions. And then we want to invite 15 of you to come in, to sit down and to have a conversation. Now, keep in mind, we'll put a few disclaimers up front. We're probably going to edit content because we only have 21 minutes. And when we start talking, you end up with more than less, which is always a wonderful thing. But we're not going to edit the content of, we might edit the length of what somebody says, but not the content and the heart of it. And we just want to be able to have this open forum where you'll be heard. Now, spoiler alert, this is your chance to become famous for a minute. Yeah. You get to be on the radio.
We might even do a shout out for your town.
There you go, a shout out for your town. You can meet Marianne in person.
Yeah.
It'll be amazing. Yeah. But it really, more than anything, it'll be an opportunity to have a conversation and to learn from one another. Sometimes one of the most beautiful things, and purposefully I'll tell you this, I'm going to pick some of the topics based on the fact that hoping that when the room gets together, there are some Lutherans and there are some Presbyterians and there are some Catholics and there are some recovering who knows what and there's some Baptists and all of that, because from those different traditional places, we can learn something from one another. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes what we've got to do is stop condemning one another and start listening to one another so that we can learn from one another, because all of us are missing the mark some way and all of us have got something that we're doing right.
Yeah.
And it would be great to hear those voices and be able to understand where they're coming from, why they're saying what they're saying, and what can we learn from them. And, you know, the Bible says, take the good, throw out the other stuff.
And we're thinking it through. We're praying it up. There's lots of possibilities where Jason is like narrowing it. He thought 15. I still like to think of maybe
Mark there's... always likes like hundreds.
Yeah, I'm thinking, you know, we have these 50 chairs back there and there could be other people. Maybe there's two groupings, those very engaged.
Do you hear that? Do you hear that? Do you hear that? Off in the distance, it's the voice of reason screaming at you.
Yeah, so we'll figure that out and how to invite you. And
we'll
how
figure
to
that out. That means that Mark wants to figure out how to argue back that he should have 50 people here.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, you know, I don't want to minimize the opportunity for somebody to just show up and get excited. And here we are at the front windows at Marketplace Mall, and I think people might walk by and be intrigued. What's going on in there? It looks like it's a studio audience. I'm going to walk in and listen in. And there will obviously have to be some rules and regulations, so it's not a free-for-all or people just jump up to the mic, but we'll probably have a mic or two set up near the audience. Whatever the audience is, maybe it's just three of you show up, or maybe it's 10 or maybe many more. We'll work that out. We'll figure out how to do it in an orderly way. But the goal is to have our Friday program where there's generally a subject or a topic that maybe Jason will launch into as many times as the case. I'll just share a verse, and then with no forewarning, not much time to think it through, he just starts sharing about it. And so we'll probably try to figure out maybe today's topic, or next week we're going to be talking about baptism. So if you have questions or something, then and then I'm thinking, Jason, as you were sharing this, how you love to interact with people, and being a pastor, many times you do preach a message in front of people. I was thinking, if it's at noon, maybe they bring their bag lunches or whatever, and or they save it till when we're done. But I could see it turning into somewhat of a community Bible study where, hey, let's continue talking about James chapter 3 that we just spoke on, and there could be some additional time for questions and answers, and that homerian, that working it through. What's that example where the disciples wanted to be so close to Jesus that the dust actually fell off his feet? You've shared that before, that our goal would be that as we divide God's word, as we talk about it, we all grow closer to each other and then certainly to the Lord.
We certainly want to see that. This is the interesting thing about getting people, and even in the context of, say you're a listener right now and you belong to a great church, you know, and you go to church every Sunday morning. I guarantee if your pastor got up on Sunday morning and said, now concerning this, who believes this? Some hands will go up. Who believes this about that? Other hands will go up. Even in the context of a church on Sunday morning, everybody believes a little bit of something different. You know, they're probably on the basic kind of tenets of the faith, you know, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. We believe this all together. But on the smaller issues, we deviate quite a bit. And so the beauty is that when you get into a room where everybody comes from different places and different spaces, we all believe a little bit different. It's not that anybody in the room is a heretic. It's that everybody believes something just a little bit different, or the application of that belief a little bit different. But we all have one thing in common, and that's Jesus. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is the thing that should bind us together. He's the thing that should unify us. And so one of the powerful things is that when we get together, we're reminded of that. Because oftentimes what happens is we end up just hanging around with our own tribe. And our tribe believes these certain things and does these certain things and likes these certain things. And then pretty soon, somewhere down the road, all of a sudden my church is the only church who believes what's right. And that's not true, nor is it good, nor is it biblical, and nor is it helpful. And what it really does, that kind of thinking when we arrive there, is that it destroys the unity, the very unity that Jesus prays for in John 17 when he prays that they would be one as you and I and the Father are one. And so we need to get together. We need to spend more time together, especially with people who might not believe exactly what we believe, so that we can understand that we all believe the same central thing. And when we begin to listen to each other, not to respond, but listen, really listen to each other, we'll find out that I believe with all my heart, we'll find out we have actually more in common than we thought.
I was sharing this idea at a recent board meeting, and you sent me that graphic. I think I forwarded that on. You'll start seeing on Facebook or something a graphic about a live audience for future Mark and Friends program. And I was telling the board member, oh, yeah, that reminds me of the time Jason was doing a series of teaching, and we happened to meet a Judah Christian in their kind of cafeteria area, and people were on those picnic table kind of things. They were sitting in reversed and such. But we had like 100+ community members gathering for, I don't know if it was like 7 or 9 weeks. It was a number of weeks. It was it was that inductive study of the Bible. What was that?
The Merge Gospels.
Gospels. And I'm envisioning something like that where people are coming together. They're benefiting through the relationship, coming and participating. Maybe the noon hour is the ideal time because some can get off work. Or maybe I can even invite some people from the mall. Just let them know that there's a special taping on Wednesday at noon. Bring your sack lunch. Be cognizant of the fact that there's a microphone. So if they're, you know, munching on Doritos and, you know, what's all that crunching going on?
Yeah.
But we'll figure that all out and gather together. And I would hope there'd be some, even in the audience, that haven't come to a saving knowledge of Jesus yet. They're seeing Christians interact and they're kind of marveling at the community that's being fostered here, the friendships that are developing. And that I want to go back there. There was something different. There was that fragrance of Christ evident. So I'm not sure, we're maybe blurring a lot of different ideas, but in the next couple of weeks, I don't know if we'll hammer it out, but we'll see how God would lead and how it can be set up so that some of you can come and participate and have some questions answered, or better yet, and this is what I know Jason's heart is, you can teach us some things. We can all learn from each other. And I think you were saying that once, some of your best messages are times where there's a lot of interaction and that you find yourself learning.
Well, one of the things I think as Christians that we tend to do is we tend to want to live in safe spaces. And so even as you're talking, you're saying, we're going to figure this out, we're going to figure this out, we're going to figure this out. One of the things when I read the book of Acts recently, I was reading it through again. One of the things that I kept coming to a thought was that I don't think that the Apostle Paul, because the Apostle Paul would arrive in these towns and things would go all kinds of ways. I mean, they go to Ephesus and there's a riot. They go into one town and they get dragged out of the town and get stoned. They go into one town, they preach the gospel, a bunch of people get saved. I really do think that Paul and Barnabas sat outside of some of these towns and go, I don't know how it's going to go. But you know what's going to happen? We're going to go in there.
Yep.
We're going to go do that thing. So I think that one of the things that is germane for us in our Christian faith is that sometimes we don't know how things are going to go. And that doesn't mean that we don't go. In fact, Jesus commands us to therefore go. Go into all of the world. And by the way, all of the world means all of the mess and all the difficulty and all of that, because sometimes in the midst of the difficulty is where you find the greatest amount of beauty. That's why the Bible talks about beauty from ashes. Because for us, what we think looks like a mess, what we think looks like ashes, what we think looks difficult is actually where God is most at work. And I think in where we would normally think maybe we'll have some division or we'll have some mess or we'll have whatever, we think, well, that's going to be really difficult and hard. And God goes, no, I'm actually going to be in the middle of that doing something amazing. And we have to not be fearful to go there.
Yeah. I wrote down again, keeping Jesus front and center. And so that'll be...
So that's another person you're inviting.
Yeah, that's right. That'll be kind of the ultimate goal. Educate, edify, and evangelize is always a part of our mission. Mm-hmm. But how can we get to know Jesus better as we interact, as we share, as we havarim, as we talk through some of the scriptures? And I'm excited about it. It'll probably start in 2 or 3 weeks. We're still nailing down a date, but it'll be one of the Wednesdays upcoming in May. I think at noon might be an ideal time so people can remember that. And we'll figure out as far as how to do signups or if you're interested. I guess if you're kind of interested a little, you can always email the station staff@greatnewsradio.org, staff@greatnewsradio.org. You might say, hey, I'm interested. Could you tell me more? And
get on the list.
Yeah, get on the list and we'll figure that all out.
And just as we end this program, I just also want to offer really an apology. I want to offer an update and an apology. My update is this. Well, first I'll start with my apology. It seems we're going to preempt SRN news because we're at like the 26-minute mark. So here's my update. the world's still messed up and Jesus is still good.
Oh, yeah, yeah. SRN News won't be heard today, but that's okay. You can get it next hour. Oh, we do appreciate you being a part of our radio listening family. And please be praying up this new concept of having a live audience on Wednesday. And we'll see how God will use that to his glory and hopefully build up the saints. And I'm hoping that maybe some unchurched people come in and will be fascinated by the topic and leave saying, I want to know this Jesus. I mean, that would be the best. So thank you for listening today. Thank you for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day, night, and weekend.